Hi, I'm Donna O'Toole, and you're listening to my exclusive Winning Awards podcast. Over the years, I've had the pleasure of supporting entrepreneurs, business leaders, and teams to win the most prestigious awards in the world. I've seen firsthand how receiving awards and recognition has motivated teams, solved problems, supercharged brands, and raised profiles, helping businesses to grow and do even more good things for their employees, their industry, and their community. In this podcast, I'll be sharing valuable awards insights, tips, and inspirational stories to make sure that you get the recognition that you deserve so that you can go on and achieve your dreams. So what are you waiting for? It's time to start winning. Thank you for joining us today for this next episode of the Winning Awards podcast. Today I have with me Dr. Rebecca G. Herbert. She is the founder and the academic director of Wisdom Spring Education. As the silver winner of the UK Customer Experience Awards for Customer Experience During the Crisis and finalist of the Great British Entrepreneur Awards, 2020 has certainly been an eventful year for Rebecca and her team. Originally from Wuhan, China, and as a highly respected Chinese-British education expert based in the UK, Rebecca set up Wisdom Spring Education in 2014 to help families in China to give their children an outstanding British education. Since this time, she has ensured children from the ages of 10 to 18 can safely and securely travel between the countries for their education and thrive in the schools and universities they attend. However, in 2020, when the COVID-19 pandemic hit the UK, China was ahead of the game. And having been aware of the outbreak in her hometown months earlier, so was Rebecca. In today's podcast, I welcome Rebecca to tell us her incredible story of how the pandemic impacted on her business and the children and family she was working with, and how this has resulted in a new educational journey for both her students and her business. So welcome, Rebecca, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So you've been on an incredible journey this year. So first of all, tell us what Wisdom Spring Education does and how you work.
Thanks, Donna. Yes, we are an award-winning education consultancy. So we bring overseas students to the UK to study in a boarding school. We then support them through the whole school journey till they get an offer at the top university. So I have a doctorate in education. I also have 23 years of work experience in education, both in China and UK. Goodness me, I can't believe I have been on such a journey over 20 years already. And I have taken on various roles across research, teaching, international student recruitment, all sorts of jobs. And I utilize all my research and practice. I created a methodology called ACE framework, effectively increasing the chances of our students getting into top schools and universities. So we aim to seamlessly integrate overseas students into the British school life. And our vision is to inspire overseas children to become global citizens through integration into a multicultural British society.
Amazing. That sounds so inspirational, Rebecca. And if I had children and I was in a different country and needing to put them in someone's hands, I would feel very safe with you with all of that amazing experience, although you don't look old enough to have that much experience.
Thanks for your trust.
So obviously 2020, then you've got all this experience behind you. Your business has been in operation already since 2014, so it was all going smoothly. You know what you've got planned for 2020, and then the pandemic hit, which, like for everybody, made a big difference to your business. But you were ahead of us. You knew, and you were actually from Wuhan in China, so you knew what was going on before many of us in the UK did. So tell us the story of how you found out what was happening ahead of the game, and then what that meant for your students.
Yes, of course. Goodness me, I can't believe this is already the end of the year. We just have had such a long journey. So back at the beginning of this year, things actually moved rather quickly and unexpectedly. So people always said, okay, we need to have plan B. At that time, we had a plan C and D as well, just all the way through Easter holiday, because that's kind of the expansion we could expect back then. So as you said, I'm from Wuhan, which is a very popular city these days. Everyone knows about Wuhan, yeah. Which is amazing for me. So back then when schools were saying, okay, do not leave the country because then you won't be able to come back. And so all international students have to stay in the country. But as I said, I'm from Wuhan and I heard all the news and also hold all the important information about how this disease could spread very quickly and the situation could be very severe. So we started to communicate with parents, reporting to them what was happening in the UK, even though back then the press in the UK were kind of quite light about it, because they, I think at the moment, at that moment, people didn't quite realize how bad it could go and how quickly it could go. But when we were speaking to the parents, we told them what was happening, even though their children would be telling them absolutely safe in the UK. We said, well, we suggested to them to get flight tickets as soon as possible. At least they need to start the tickets. At the same time, we are checking out our students early because they could not leave without the school's permission. Meanwhile, we were in taxi, even though it was kind of not finalized, because so schools, parents, everything was quite loose, but we thought it's best that we get a hold of a taxi as possible so we know they could stand by, but they've got tickets. The school agreed to children to go, then we were ready. So really, it's working with the parents, schools, and also external parties such as taxi and homestay, I probably will be talking about later on. So I could give you a couple of stories, Donna, if you...
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, bring it to life for us, because we can't imagine. It must have been terrifying for the children and for you and for their family. So, yeah, tell us about that.
Yes, of course. So for example, school promised us because we had two boys in the school. So the school said, well, don't worry about it. We have got really a fantastic plan through this term and Easter holiday. So we will have them on the campus looking after them through the whole period of time whenever we need to. So we actually called them and asked them to double, sort of like a double checking. Are you sure? They said, yes, absolutely sure. We've got enough staff. We've got accommodation. Everything was in place. So we passed that message to these two boys' families. So they were quite happy about the plan. As I said, that's plan B. But then 2 days later, I clearly remember that was a Friday evening, and I got a phone call from the school. So that was kind of an emergency call. They wouldn't call your number, mobile number, unless it's absolutely urgent. So they called me and said, oh, Dr. Herbert, can you, ask your colleagues to take the two boys out of the school? I was like, just 2 days ago, you were 10 years, everything was in place. Yeah. Now we had to take the boys out of school. And also, the parents didn't buy tickets or anything. Mm. So we had to act very, very quickly. I said, what is the time, you give us? They said, well, now it's Friday. We would like you to take the two boys out of the school by Sunday. So we've got only one day, to work on taxi and homestay, but more importantly, getting parents to purchase tickets as soon as possible. So that's one thing. But But also there were many occasions when flights were cancelled. One of our students was actually on board, so he was sat in the airplane telling us, okay, everything's fine, I'm here. We were like, okay, fine. So because we asked all our taxi drivers to stay till they went aboard. So we felt that was safe, right? The taxi driver, you know, you could go home now, yeah, or go and pick up another child. In fact, he was on the way to pick up another child from school back to his yeah. program. And then the child said, I don't know why, but the flight is just not going anywhere. I just have been sat here for quite a long time. And then the parents sent us a message saying, well, the flight was cancelled. So we had to call the taxi driver to go back to Heathrow and pick up the child. This one student, and another student flying to America to reunite with his parents. Again, you know, when he arrived in Heathrow, then we got a message from his parents that the flight was cancelled. So, you know, flights were cancelled pretty much the last minute. We had to react quite quickly.
Mm, amazing. And so worrying for you and for the families and for the children, but very reassuring also for them to know that they've got you there, you know, to get it all organized for them, thank goodness.
Yes, it was very hard, and for the children, I mean, when they were in school, they actually felt quite safe, because yes, you know, all of them were in a boarding school. They felt quite safe. They were in that sort of safe bubble, so they didn't feel the pressure.
Until
the very end, when schools were saying, right, everyone has to leave
everyone
now.
And
then they started to be very, very worrying. And what we did, particularly towards the end when they stayed in the UK, and when they were on the road to Heathrow, to the airport, that's where we started really reassure them and kept a regular updates with the parents and those children.
Fantastic. And so then obviously you know, those children go back home, and thanks to your support, you know, everyone gets where they need to be safely, everyone is being looked after, but they still need to be educated. And so in this country, you know, the children and my own children were, you know, then all sent home and being educated from home, online with Teams meetings and all sorts of things with school. And actually, interesting, we've had a conversation about this before, and I remember you saying to me, well, they still need an education on it once they got there. And I thought, oh, gosh, I didn't even think of that. Of course they do. So what did you do then? Obviously, you've got to then kind of pivot and change from being a, you know, come to us and we'll look after you and be educated with a British education in here in the UK to having a British education back home in China.
Yes. So obviously education is very important. So once they landed and we in China and other countries and we united with their family, the next thing is education, back to education. But in fact, when they were airborne, we started working with their parents and the schools, just setting everything up for them. So for example, the first thing we did was to support our parents to purchase VPN, because that could be a problem once they land in China and they cannot have access to many educational platforms. So parents had to purchase VPN, also get a printer, for example, ready, because I know it's quite a popular, you know, in most British households, we would have a printer. However, in China, we don't have such a thing unless it's, you know, we have to get ready. So, but could I say, we usually wouldn't encourage anyone to use the VPN because we respect each country's, you know, decision on their information and all that. But we felt this was purely for children's education and also directly delivered by British schools. We felt, you know, it was necessary to have access to all the educational platform and the information. So we helped parents to get proper VPN sorted out. And also we worked with the schools, making sure all platforms and all login details were ready once the child arrives, they know where to go in terms of the educational platform their school was going to use. Because there was quite a lot of changes just during a very short period of time, sometimes children don't know where they should go. So we actually had everything sorted when they arrived at home. So that's the first thing, technical issues. And then once their child settled down technically, we needed to help them with their homework and also school and university applications, because some of our students were actually in the process. So we worked with the schools in the UK as well as some organizations, you know, outside the UK, for example, the British Council, because they've got offices in, you know, many countries. So we worked with them to help students see the exams, which should have been set in the UK, but because they could not go to the actual school. So everything was done online. And so that's homework, applications, etc. But more importantly, I think British education is not just in the classroom, it's also outside the classroom, you know, building that bond with their friends and the boarding house staff in the UK. So we did a lot of work around their social integration. Again, because they just came to the UK in September. Some of them literally it was their first visit to the UK in September last year. Now they flew back and then they had to get that social reconnection with their friends they just made in the UK and our staff as well.
Amazing. So you had a lot of challenges to get over with them, and not to mention as well the time zone as well, because obviously we're not all working on the same timeline, are we? So, you know, that's another thing that you've had to overcome along the way. So now we're getting, you know, further on in the year, and actually now since the beginning we've gone into a whole other academic year, and you know, pivot's been a real big buzzword of 2020, hasn't it? And you've certainly had to do some of that. So what does it look like now? Obviously we're now here in the UK, we're now in you know, the second, or coming out of the second lockdown. You know, things have changed. No one's really sure when anything, you know, is going to, what the new normal is going to look like. So what does that sort of new normal look like for you at the moment?
So at the moment, some students, most of students actually came back to the UK when the new term started, because they have that trust, that, you know, they have that confidence in us, but as well as in schools in the UK. Mm-hmm. But now some of them went back to their overseas families, simply because the case numbers were just kind of picking up, and their parents were quite worried. So some of them have gone back to their home countries, whereas others are still staying in the UK. So now looking forward, there is not going to be normal in terms of education. I don't know about other areas or industries, but in education, definitely is not going to, even though I think some parents or some schools would like to go back to normal, but I'm afraid it's not going to be like that anymore. There will be some online learning elements in schools. It's just the level of, you know, integrating online learning elements into their normal education. So I think everyone needs to be ready for that new normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I would have thought, I mean, just sort of thinking here, that this is, you know, online learning in education for young people is not something that I believe was, you know, in the plan for most schools. But now I think, you know, do you think that kind of fast track to innovation in some ways may actually end up being a positive thing in the future because of the blended learning sort of possibilities?
Yes, absolutely. So because I did my PhD in online learning.
Oh, that's handy.
so that's where my expertise lays. There are a couple of things perspectives we need to look at. One perspective is definitely from, you know, from the school side, either staff management, say, you know, if it's for a headmaster to consider, but also teaching staff and lab technicians and how they can integrate online learning into their normal teaching practice. But at the same time, parents need to think how they adapt their parenting in a sense, because before parents would be quite reluctant to, you know, pass the PC or iPad, for example, or mobile to their children. But during the lockdown, parents were adapting to that, you know, quite quickly changing environment as well as children. So I've read quite a lot of reports, you know, tracing back in March this year till now, and many schools, particularly teachers, teaching staff, are positive about bringing some online element into their teaching practice. So just how we're going to do it, because I know some schools actually went to an extreme, if you like. So they actually used some TikTok, can you imagine, TikTok videos to excite students. Yeah. But again, that brings us to another subject. How far do we need to go, you know, as an educationist? Mm. So I'm actually writing a report for schools and parents, just to reflect on what we have done, you know, what we have experienced, either as a school or as a parent. And I want to look at, you know, those good practices and just reflect on those practices and give some solution to the future learning environment.
Yeah, fantastic. Wow, so much to come. So then to round up your year, you actually won an incredible award and you became a finalist in another award, which I can't imagine at the start of this whole process and this whole year you could have even possibly imagined. So you entered the UK Customer Experience Awards in the category of looking after your customers in a crisis, which, well, 100%, that's what you were doing this year. So how did that feel when you were entering that award, and what does that really mean to you to get that recognition?
It sounds like a cliche if I say, you know, I really appreciate that recognition. But back then, when we were entering the award, really, I just wanted to tell all these wonderful stories, how my team worked with the schools and parents and, you know, reassured the students everything would be fine. I just wanted to tell everyone
how we were
working and how we supported everyone. And of course, it means a lot, the award. It does mean a lot for us as an individual, as well as, you know, for the team, because they worked really, really hard behind the scene. I know I was the one who speaks in the front, but I've got an amazing team working behind the scene. So I think more importantly, I appreciate our parents' recognition. So obviously I shared this great news with them, with our students and the parents. They were very excited about it, but they, the messages they sent to us, you just can't imagine. It was so, you just thought, okay, I know I worked probably quite 24/7 back then because the time difference and the everything. But it's definitely well worth it. But I think we're not going to just be content with the award. Mm-hmm. We, because in our company, there is a word that's going on all the time, which is revaluation. So we'll always learn from what we have experienced. So we have reflected on what happened and how we worked through the whole journey, and we are going to apply all we have learned to our continuing work. So looking forward is not necessarily just the pandemic, hope we're not going to have another one, but could be anything unexpected. Mm. So we need to be agile, we need to be creative, and we really need to have plan A, B, C, and D.
I think that's so true.
Yeah.
So is that your advice to all entrepreneurs out there like yourself then, who are looking towards 2021 and wondering how they possibly plan for the unknown?
Yes. Could I share with you and the audience a personal, not a story, but something quite personal?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love you to. Yeah.
So back in March, I worked really hard, and in April, May, June, it seemed endless. You know, we were just plowing through all barriers and difficulties and supporting, but we put a brave face, you know, in front of the schools and the parents and, of course, the children. So one day my dad called me, asking me how, you know, everything was going on in the UK. I usually give him good news, but back then there wasn't so much to tell him. So I said, yeah, it is, you know, difficult. Then he said, Rebecca, you know what? I'm 83 years old now, and I've seen so many things. Life, I know he has said it before, but back at that time, I really felt what he was saying. So what he said is, I've seen lots of things. Life is full of ups and downs, and bad things can never stay here forever. There will be good things coming. You just have to get ready. You just have to keep going. So I think that is probably one of the messages I would give to, you know, entrepreneurs for 2021, just to keep that resilience, because how we deal with stress and the pressure, it's pretty much like, you know, our muscles. So the more you stretch your muscles, and then the more flexible they become. So the same, you know, how we cope with the stress. So really we need to appreciate adversity and just be positive. But I don't believe just being positive will help. We have to be positive, but at the same time, we have to think very hard and reflect on what we have experienced, and we need to get ready and grab this great opportunity in 2021. The reason I'm saying this, Donna, is because I'm observing the whole landscape of businesses is changing, and the needs of customers for us is, you know, parents and the parents and the students, but the needs of the customers are changing as well. And the cards are just reshuffling, and how we grab this, you know, massive opportunity is what we should be thinking over the Christmas, apart from celebrating with the families.
Yeah, of course. That's brilliant advice, Rebecca. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey, because I know, I know as an entrepreneur myself, you know, sometimes it's really difficult to know, are you doing the right thing? Should you plan something different? You know, what's going to come next? But you're absolutely right. Nothing bad ever stays. Your dad's absolutely right. Good things do come. And it is about celebrating and recognizing all the little wins that you have along the way, even amongst the difficult times, and looking forward with you, like you say, with positivity, but with real agility as well, and a mindset that is ready to change and ready to adapt to whatever the new normal is that we all find ourselves in amongst. So thank you so much, Rebecca, and congratulations again on your amazing award win, and on just getting through an incredible year. You've done so well, and you know, we're all hats off to you for managing that and for keeping everyone safe and reassured, and you know, not worried that their children were in your hands. So you've done a fantastic job. Never underestimate that. So thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing what next year holds for you and for Wisdom Spring Education.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Donna. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of my Winning Awards podcast. If you enjoyed it or found it helpful, please share it on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any questions, please head over to craftedbyaugust.com, where you can find out more about winning awards and contact me. On the website, you can also take our free awards test, which will identify your award strengths and tell you how likely you are to win. I really hope you've been able to take away some ideas today so that you can go ahead and win awards, have an even bigger impact on the world, and achieve your dreams.